All right, besides pregnant pause, there kind of anticipation, building that up. It's good to see everybody out this morning. And we have some that obviously are not here because of illness and some for various reasons, but we're glad you're here. As Brady may mention, beginning the Bible class, that everybody is here because you chose to be here. You did not just accidentally show up this morning. You consciously made the decision to get ready and bring your family, yourselves here and to study worship God, and we're glad that you did that. And that's really what we're going to talk about this morning, is we're going to talk about choices as we look at. I remember a few years ago I gave a lesson along the lines, it's different than this one here, but along the lines of choices. We can make our choices, but we don't have the ability to determine what the consequences of those choices are going to be. For instance, Adam and Eve, when they chose to disobey God in the Garden of Eden, they were told by God was going to happen, but they couldn't change that. Their choice was whether or not to obey God or not. And that's true about life. There's a lot of consequences people have that they wish they could change, but they made the choice that led those consequences. And as you think about choices, though, that we make choices on a regular basis, like every day, in fact, we have to make choices. And a lot of times we may not even realize it, or we may make a choice by not making a choice. We may kind of just decide not to do anything, and that's a choice in ourself. And a lot of times our choices are determined and influenced by various things. That our parents will influence our choices later on in life. I mean, there's a number of times I decide to do something or some type of action I get involved in, I know exactly where that came from. That's my parents coming out of me. That's my dad usually, but my mom also every now and then. Or it may be determined by our friends, our peers that we are around. After all, the Bible talks about the fact that, you know, the influence of others upon us. And it may be determined by our society. I mean, we are receiving messages on a regular basis. In fact, if I use the word we in this lesson, that a lot of times refer to the society around us, the news, the television programs, the educational system, all things influences, and finally, just what we like ourselves will determine what choice we want to make in life. But when we look at our choice, we have to realize that those choices are influencing other people also. And I thought about the fact of Jeroboam in the Old Testament. Jeroboam, as you study about his life, we understand that he was the king that came in, that God had promised him, in fact, that he would receive the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And his decision that he made when he became king was to establish a false system of worship. He decided to establish an altar of Baal and one at Dan, where people go and worship God, and he established his own priesthood. And therefore, as you read about him in the 1 Kings, 11th chapter onward, we find that he led children of Israel into sin. In fact, in summarizing his life, in 1 Kings 14 verse 16 said, and he gave up Israel, talking about God, he will give Israel up because of sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and does the last part and who made Israel sin. And that is, he was the one that opened the door to this, and his influence led them on that direction by idolatry. In fact, and talking about his son, as we talk about Nadab, his son, in 1 Kings 15, verse 25. Now, Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years, and he did evil inside the Lord and walked in the way of his father and his sin by which he had made Israel sin. Almost verbatim, the same words as far as describing the influence of this person later on in life after his life's over with. And so when we think about our choices, let me just start off here about certain facts about choices. And you may or may not agree with all these, but I believe these are true. And that the first fact is that the faithfulness and righteousness of one generation does not automatically transfer to the next generation. In other words, that just because grandma or grandpa were pillars of the church, it's just because, as I can remember my Aunt Mamie and Uncle Otis, so they would go to church there to Antioch, and as she would bring the Lord's Supper in a basket every Sunday, so they'd put it on the table there, and then he would be there stoking up the fire in the stove so the building would be warm, and any kind of building was open up, they were there.
Just because they did that did not mean that their child would be faithful later on. And that's true about everybody, that in fact one generation has to decide for themselves what they're going to do. And so each generation has to make that choice whether or not to obey God or not to obey God. And generally, again, as a statement, a truth, I believe, that if every child of every faithful Christian was themselves faithful, that basically every church building throughout the land would be full of Christians. And I dare say that'd be true here. They think about the number of folks maybe their family was faithful, but their children became unfaithful, and they're no longer darkening the doors of the building, as those saying go. And the second fact is that, and this goes along with Judges 2 verse 10, by the way. It said, when all that generation had been gathered to the fathers, another generation rose after them who did not know the Lord or the work which he had done for Israel. And that's true for every generation as far as those who have the decision to make whether or not to obey God or not. The second fact is that bad choice, people can be taught or influenced to make bad choices. Even when you're taught the right thing. And even when you think you actually know what the right thing to do, and that little voice in the back of your head may say, this is what God wants me to do. This is what I know is the right thing to do. You can still be influenced by others saying to do something else. In fact, I believe seldom does an evil deed originate with one person. In other words, Jeroboam, for instance, that when he established calf worship, he didn't think of that all on his own. He saw that by the people in the land of Canaan around him. And he saw that maybe amongst some of his own Israelites, as they were still involved in idolatry, not to the extent that he was getting involved in, but he was not the original source of this idolatry idea. And so it is for us that whenever we make choices, we, as 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, evil company corrupts good morals. That a lot of times our bad choices are because we've been influenced that way. And as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. That evil is still evil. Sin is still sin. And the third fact is that once that teaching or influence becomes ingrained, once we start learning that, once the next generation start learning this evil, whatever sin it is, that they think that's normal. And that becomes ingrained in their personalities, ingrained in their society, ingrained in their teaching, and ingrained to the point that they just think that's the way it is. I think we see that in our society today. As you look around, there are things being taught, and we're going to mention some of those in the lesson here, but the things being taught have been taught now for one or two generations, and even a question that today is thought to be to simply ignorant. To even think about that, that's not right. It's seen as being simply outrageous because it's becoming green. And this gets us to the last thing here, and that is we want our children, and we can underline this here and strike out children if you want. If you want your neighbors, if you want your family members, if you want your coworkers to make good choices, we must influence them in order to make those good choices. And by influence them, I mean we got to teach them. We have to provide the example that they're not going to have for the world around them if we actually want to be, as was said in our scripture reading, the salt and the light. Jesus says that's the way we are in this world. We're salt and we're light. And we make the choice what kind of salt we're going to be. We make the choice how bright our light's going to shine. And so those facts here leads me to these four things as far as being said. And we have to decide and be the influence for good. But there are things being taught to lead to bad choices. And the first of those is that morality is relative. And again, there's a lot of folks who just believe there's nothing immoral or moral in and of itself. That it all simply goes back to that there's not any absolute standard of morality. You can't really say this is wrong. You can't really say this is wrong. And it's just kind of like shifting sand. And that is what we think today is moral and what we think today is immoral. The next, 2 days from now may not be seen that way anymore. In fact, there's been so many examples the last number of years, it's just kind of realized that the morality of one generation, the next generation may seem to be totally immoral and totally wrong. Give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. And this was, again, a news story I read just a few days ago, but in 1969, there was this movie called Romeo and Juliet. And a lot of folks wouldn't have saw that movie. It was an R-rated movie because there was a brief nude scene involved in it, including the two main characters in that scene. However, what came out was that she was 15 years old whenever that movie was made, and he was like 17. And at that time, nobody questioned it. Nobody at that time basically said, Hody, you can't do this. It was okay because, you know what? That's just the movies. That's Hollywood. And we were being really, you know, open-minded back in the 1960s where nothing was really right or wrong anymore. And now all of a sudden people are going back and say, you know, why? They shouldn't have allowed that. I mean, the nudity by itself is wrong, right? But you know, especially the age of those folks there today, there are people saying that should not have been allowed. In fact, I think the studio's being sued because of that now. But not only that, but also the Tuskegee experiment. Now, if you've done much history reading, you'll find that this refers to an experiment that was done back in 1930s, 1932. And this was sanctioned by the government by which they began a study to record the natural symptoms of syphilis. In other words, venereal disease. And they took a bunch of black men here, basically 600 black men. 399 had syphilis, 201 did not. And they decided to have the study done on them. And they didn't really explain to the people what they were doing with them. They just told them they had bad blood. And so they told them that without really giving them any information about this, they said, let's do the experiments on you and describe several ailments, including syphilis, anemia, and fatigue. And in response to that, I'll tell you what we'll do here. We'll give you some money, we'll provide you some meals, and we'll buy you a life insurance policy. And now later on, people go back there and say, hold here, you mean you're using these folks as human guinea pigs literally to see what would happen? Yes, that's exactly what they did. And that's not the only one of those cases, but my point is, in fact, that a lot of times things that were done at one time were seen to be moral was actually not, you know, today we look at it and say, that's not right. That's an immoral thing they did. And we just need to make sure that we teach our children, again, teach people around us, that there is a moral standard. That moral standard is God's Word. It doesn't shift with the sands of the sea. It doesn't change because one generation goes away, another one comes in. And in fact, we look today and we realize that there's a lot of things the Bible talks about, and that generation was actually okay. And today, a lot of people in our generation say it's okay. However, when we look at it, God's Word says not. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. As you read through this list, think about how many of these things, that if you go and ask your neighbor about them, they say, well, that doesn't matter. That's okay. And we say, do not know that the unrighteous are not here to the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. How many people today think that actually going from one bedroom to another bedroom, one person, another person, is okay? It's just, you know, have premarital sex, all right. He said, not only that, but also idolaters. You can have your own God. You can worship whatever you want to worship. Nor adulterers. You can go from being unfaithful to your spouse, or homosexuals, or sodomites. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But the reason why they weren't going to inherit the kingdom of God was not because that society said it's wrong. In fact, these things that society said it's fine. Go out there and do them. But he said the reason it's wrong that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God is because God says so. And as you go on, we find that many times there are lists given to us in the Bible that you read that list, you think about it. There's a lot of folks today say that's no big deal. But the morality of the Bible are not suggestions, but they are rules. Like God's law gives us commandments, not simply suggestions. In Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, liars, adulterers, all liars, that have the part of the lake with burns and fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, when you go through that list there, again, there's a lot of things people would think that's no big deal, especially lying. I mean, today that's a natural thing, right? A lot of people lie today. How many people think that's going to actually keep us to heaven? And you say, well, it will. Again, not because society says it's wrong, because God says it's wrong. And so we need to teach our children that basically culture is not determined what's moral. Our culture a lot of times is wrong about morality. We need to teach what the Bible says. That's the actual standard of morality. The second thing is that a lot of people are being taught, I get and deserve to get what I want. Whatever is I in my heart's desire, I should be able to attain that. And we have a good example of this in the Bible by a man by the name of King Ahab. And most of us are very familiar with this here story here, and that Ahab wanted to buy a vineyard that was near his land, and Naboth is a man that owned the vineyard. And as you read down through that story there in 1 Kings 21 verse 2, it says, so Ahab spoke to Naboth saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it's near my house, and for I will give you a vineyard better than thine. Now notice he didn't say, would you be interested in selling that to me? Do you want to get rid of that piece of land? If so, just let me know, and I'll tell you what, I'll take it off your hands, or I'll pay you a good value for it. That wasn't the question at all. He said, give it to me, and I'll give you something for it, but give it to me. And he goes on, he says, but Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. So Ahab went to his house, so on and displeased, because the word which Naboth, the Jezreelite, spoke to him, for he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down his bed, turned away his face, would eat no food. And it's often been compared to a child that just decides to throw a temper tantrum when they're told you can't have this toy. And that's true, but notice here, Ahab was responsive when he said that he got upset because Naboth said no. How many times has Ahab ever been told no, you think, in his life? I realize as kings, probably Israel and Judah both, that probably you weren't told no very often. And you were kind of used to getting whatever you want, because you were always taught, you know, what you want is what you get. And we look in our society today and we realize there's a lot of folks that believe, because society is talking that, and this is the common message to everybody today, is you deserve whatever you want there. It's just out of line here. If you want a house, you deserve that. Society should give you one. If you want luxuries, if you want an iPhone, if you want a new car, almost whatever you want, you deserve that, and you should just be able to get that. And society doesn't give it to me, then I'll tell you what, I'm going to take it. As it comes to the mantra today, if society doesn't give me those things, it's evil society, and I'll take whatever I want. And you can't tell me I can't. Just turn on the news, and you'll see that on a regular basis. And so that's us being taught a lot of times. We need to make sure that we start teaching and point out to our children and people around us that you're obligated to work for your living, the Bible says. Now, I realize there are situations that occur where people cannot work. There are health situations that arises that makes it impossible for certain people to work. But the general idea in the Bible is that when God made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, he put them in an ideal environment. There's every place you look at, and would think that this is paradise, it would be in the Garden of Eden. Everything they needed was right there. But yet God did not just set them down there and said, okay, just enjoy it and relax and have a good time. Instead, what he did, he gave a purpose there. And what God said to them, Genesis 2 verse 15, that the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to tend and keep it. They had a job. They needed to work there. And then when they sinned against God later on, what they found out is that their work actually increased. That sin did not make it a work less, instead it increased it over in Genesis 3 verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten it from the tree of which I command you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And toil shall eat of it all the days of your life, for thorns and thistles shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of your taking, for dust you are, to dust you shall return. And that really became the law from that point on, when we stopped thinking about it, and that is, man's going to have to work, and the work just increased by the New Testament. And we look at it, and it points out to us that there are obligations we have. One of those is we are obligated to help our family, to work for our family. And there are certain folks that don't understand that. They think, again, society owes them everything for this family, but in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, he said, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household, he's denied the faith, is worse than an unbeliever. As Christians, you are to work and you provide for those of your household. And that needs to be taught. Because, you know, and we may think this, everybody knows that, but I guarantee you, there are young people today who are being taught that that's not true. They're being taught, like I said before, that society owes them everything. If you start mentioning to them that they have obligations, they just say, no, I don't. I get what I want. And they don't make bad choices if that's the way you look at it. But then another thing that's being taught today, you know, about choices, that we have no obligation to our fellow men. There are folks that look around and they basically say, yeah, I owe you nothing. Yeah, we're human beings, but you know what? I don't have any obligation to you at all. And they're simply just not even paying attention to what the Bible says about this. Much like in the book of Genesis, again, with Cain and Abel, whenever Cain had killed his brother because Abel's sacrifice was set by God and Cain's was not. And God comes to Cain and basically says, what is happening? And Cain's response is, God said, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And of course, he understood exactly where his brother was. His brother was in the ground. He had killed his brother. But you look and you understand here, there are all folks that will have the same response, and that is, if I see somebody in aid, or if I see somebody needing help, or it's something I can do to help somebody, I don't have any obligation at all. And again, a news item here, just about a month ago now, and we all remember the storm that came in here right before Christmas, and how the temperature just plummeted down to -7 degrees, and how we had a snow and ice on the ground. Well, up in New England, up in Buffalo, for instance, that it was a lot worse up there. And this guy right here, by name, his name is Jay Whitty, I guess how you pronounce the last name. But he got a phone call there that night saying that his friend was out there in a snowstorm stranded. And so he goes out there to help his friend. And when he gets out there and he gets his friend, you know, he's kind of just stranded along with him. And so he finds some other folks that are stranded there. And they started to go from one automobile to another, having a motor run, trying to keep warm until they ran out of gas. And over one vehicle to another vehicle. And finally got to the point, there's about 10 of them by this time. And finally got to the point that he decided they got to go do something. They're all going to freeze to death out there. And so he starts knocking on doors of residences. And he goes, knocks on the door, and he offers $500 to anybody who will come in to sleep on the floor. I don't know how many residences he knocked on, but everyone said no. Not a single person said, come on in and get warm. They were one to let him stay out there and freeze to death if necessary. And the reason made the news is he realized after a while there was school nearby, and he actually broke into the school so they get in a warm place. And then before they left that school the next morning, he wrote a note and put his name on it, his phone number on it, and said, apologize for breaking in. And said, any damage is done, I'll pay for it. And explain why he had done that. Now you just think about that though. Here are some people that, when somebody knocked on the door, and you realize they're out there in this blizzard, and their response was, go away, I don't want to have anything to do. And that's the way a lot of folks view it today, that they don't have any obligation to a fellow man. And we just need to realize that that's a danger we're facing our society. Now the Bible says we are to love each other. And when Jesus is talking about love and about loving your fellow man, the question came up here, and I don't have to read the whole passage there, but in Luke, the 10th chapter, we had the parable of the Good Samaritan. Again, I think everybody here is pretty familiar with that, but the parable came about because the man asked the question, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus starts giving this parable about this man that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and some robbers come and beat him up and leave him on the side of the road here. He asked two men to come by, one a Levite and the other priest. And as they see this man on this beaten on the side of the road, they walk on the other side. They get as far away as they can, they go on. And then finally a Samaritan comes by, a man that doesn't even, as Jesus were concerned, wasn't even religious minded in their viewpoint. And he's the one that actually takes care of him. He's the one that takes him and puts him on his donkey. He's the one that bands his wound. He's the one that takes him to an inn and he's the one that leaves it. Take care of me, whatever's necessary, I'll pay you later on. He's the one that did this. And Jesus' point was to us that everybody's our neighbor, even the people we don't recognize sometimes, but don't pass by on the other side. And we just have to realize that because a lot of times I'm just bad as anybody else. When I see something, I don't want to necessarily get involved, or you don't know the whole story, you may be afraid of it. But you just have to realize our care about other people is what makes us special as Christians. That the Bible says, Galatians 6 verse 10, therefore if we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith. Now doing good to all, you know, helping other people as you have the opportunity. And that we have obligation. As Jesus says, the second commandment is you shall love your neighbor and all your hearts as you love each other, as you love yourself, excuse me. And so we need to understand that. And the final thing that's being taught, I think we just have to realize that, and the list could go on. honestly, but the rules don't apply to me. There are a lot of folks that understand, yeah, there are part of rules, but it's kind of like part of the situation ethics we have around today. We have these rules that without them, society would fall apart, but when it comes to me, it doesn't really matter because it's all relative again. Morality is shifting and I don't owe you anything and I get what I want. All these things kind of put together. And we see a lot of this. We see a lot of this in news of vandalism. In some cities, they just see people walk in a crowd, walk in a store, just start looting it and tearing it up and carry out whatever they want. They say, and if you ask them about it, they say, well, you know, that I deserve this. This is what I want. Well, what about the idea about stealing? Well, that doesn't matter. Or even like the here, referees at ball games are being assaulted, being threatened. It's hard to be able to get referees at some sporting events because of the fact that the parents and even players that are turning around and punching the referees then. And you think, why are they doing that? Because a little junior or what's missing thinks that the rules don't apply to them. They think they can get by with it. Or may think about some businesses actually leaving a place they had done business for a long time because they can no longer protect their own employees. They can no longer protect the store. They can no longer protect their employees, so they have to get out. And just getting kind of, people just doing whatever they want, just again, kind of going back to Judges 21, verse 25, is that those days, no king in Israel, everyone did was right in his own eyes. And that's what we have today. That's what a lot of people are being taught. And we just have to realize that we need to be willing to teach and show our children especially, we are to obey God. The rules of God did apply to me that I am supposed to follow God's word. Over in Acts 4 verse 18 when the apostles were arrested. It said they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, what is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God you judge? For we cannot bespeak the things we have seen or heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of people, since they all glorified God what had been done. Now the last part kind of explains some of the influence of the people around them, but you know, if we just stop there at verse 21, and what if the rest of the crowd actually wanted to shut up too? Well, if everybody else was kind of like, yeah, why don't you just hush up? You know, wouldn't it change what Peter said there, and that is, we cannot but help speak the things we have seen and heard. We have to go out there and preach the gospel of Christ. We have to teach you all about who Jesus is. It wouldn't matter what the other people thought, actually. And we just need to teach people that, again, God's law comes first in our lives. And we're going to do what God says. Now, the second thing is that the laws of the land, the laws of the society do come in a second. Now, if they contradict the law of God, then we have to do what God says to do. It means breaking the laws of the land. But when it comes to the obligation to the laws, in Romans 13 verse 5, is that therefore you must also be subject, not because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers tending continually to this very thing. Bearing therefore the all their due, taxes whom taxes are due, customs whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And this talks about actually the Roman government. I mean, you talk about a bad, evil government. That was a bad government, but Paul's saying they had their place. You are to obey their laws as long as they're contradicting God's word. And so these are the things I just thought about that we need to understand that's being taught today. And it leads to bad choices people are making. And I'll just kind of come full circle with this by pointing out we made the choice to obey the gospel. Anybody that becomes Christian does so, not because they accidentally decided that, not because mom and dad decided that, because they have made that choice, whether to believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. They made a choice to repent of their sins. They made a choice to confess to Jesus. They made a choice to be baptized for the remission of sins. I'm not saying you could choose your method of salvation. I'm saying they made a choice to obey God's plan of salvation. But then also, we make the choice of what kind of Christian am I going to be when I come out of the water of baptism. That's why this morning's article, there'll be a few more about this subject matter, but we make a choice of how committed are we going to be when we become a Christian. Am I going to serve God my all? Am I going to try my best to serve Him or not? What kind of light am I going to be shining? How much salt am I going to have in my life to help with others? We make those choices. I appreciate your kind of attention this morning. And so let's go ahead and open our songbooks 333. Jesus, give you rest. If anybody here this morning needs to do what I just said in order to become a Christian,
We need you in any way. Won't you let us know as we stand, as we sing.